All right, we're recording. What's going on, guys? It's Luigi with the Modern Crowd, and we have a special guest. It's my friend Matt. And that's it. That's all I'm going to introduce it as. It's just Matt. So it's your turn to say what's up, and also what you've been up to these past few months, because what we talked about prior to hitting the record button is that you're living on the road. So talk about how that brought about, how that was brought about.
Yeah, man. No, thanks for having me on this podcast. So Luigi and I used to give campus tours at Appalachian, and yes, we had so much fun. Like there was one summer where there's like maybe five of us.
Yes,
so we did
summer 2014. Summer 2014. That was 7 years ago.
Oh, seven? Are you serious?
It's a whole lifetime ago, man.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about. 7 years.
And you've gone to Duke since then. You went to Duke Graduate School. I moved on to New York, but your journey has been pretty unconventional as to what you're up to these days.
It is. It 100% is. So I'm currently living on the road, living this nomadic, like digital nomadic lifestyle. I like digital nomad is cool because I run an online company and it allows me the flexibility and the freedom to be wherever I want to be. And this year in particular, I was experiencing a breathwork session. So for those who aren't accustomed to that, it's a meditative practice that you're focused really on the breath. And you can get really deep and introspective with it. And it really brings you into the present moment. So 2021 was coming up and I was like, what am I going to do this year? And somebody challenged me to do a breathwork session to become hyper aware and really focused and clear on what it was that I wanted. And when I did that, the thing that came up at the end of that breathwork session was travel. The word travel. That's all I wrote. I had a journal. I'm like, all right, well, now's the time. What is the magic thing I'm supposed to do? Like, travel. Oh, what does that mean?
Right.
So I reached out to a friend who lived, who traveled a lot last year. He went to a bunch of cool places. He went to Zion. He spent some time in Austin, Texas. He spent some time just living on the road. And every time I talked to him, he was in a new place. That's pretty cool. Whatever he's doing, I'm very interested in. So I reached out to him the following day. It's like, man, I had this breathwork session and it led me to travel. And I want to know a little bit about what you did last year, just for my own information, so I can create something cool like that for this year. And we hopped on a call and he told me that he was creating this plan or this big gathering called Follow Spring North, with his intent being, we're going to start in Arizona, like Southern Arizona, and over a 6 month period, work our way up all the way to the North Coast. And he actually wants to go to Alaska. So Alaska is his end destination. And he's already got a place booked out for Alaska. And, yeah, he's like, man, if you want to come along and join and live this nomadic lifestyle, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
We've got a group of about like 4 to 8, depending on when. Right now, I think we've got about 6 of us who are here. And I'm currently outside Zion National Park in Southern Utah. And we're just hanging out. I'm living in a tiny home right now and having a blast.
Tell me more about that surrender. When you, because just writing travel on a piece of paper isn't usually just going to go to that and you go travel, right? So how was that materialized? I know you said you hit up your friend, but I mean, what were some more of the peripherals that made travel real more than just possible?
Yeah. You know, so the first thing that came up when you said that was my initial gut reaction was, well, I have a lease. I have a lease on an apartment until like the end of September, or like the start of October this year. So immediately when travel came up, I had this but. I was like, but I have a lease. So it was this roadblock that was in my way, and I was gonna let it ride, man. For some time, I was gonna let it ride. I was like, oh, wait until it's over, and. Yeah, like you said, I just had this feeling of like this letting go of, no, I'm gonna surrender to what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna listen to my internal desire and like what my heart wants. My heart wants me to go travel. And my mind is trying to, you know, you've already signed a lease. You said you're going to commit to staying here for 12 months. So I hopped on the phone with my friend, and he's like, dude, just sublease your place. And immediately I'm like, oh, that's going to be so hard. Like, there's no way I'm going
to
find a
sublease. Why did you do that? Why did you just, the first thing that came up to your head was like hard. Like, it wasn't, where'd that come from? Do you remember?
Yeah, that's a good,
I mean, keep going from the story, but it's just that came about. It's like, wow, it's such a human thing to do. And it's like, why do we do that? You know?
I don't know, man. I guess it's just, we like to put a lot of our heart desires or what our like inner child really wants us to do on hold. And like the thing I took away with breathwork, it really allows you to connect with your inner child and your heart. So you're listening and like, what is it that I really want to do? And that sometimes is different. Like what the body and what the inner child and heart wants is sometimes different than what the mind wants to do.
Wow.
Right. The mind can play games with you, and the mind can make things way harder and put these roadblocks that are totally imaginary up in place that prevent you from doing what you really want to do and desire to do. So I surrendered to that and was like, and actually at that same time I was doing either that breath work or maybe one before, my intention for 2021 is to listen to my inner child and to follow what my inner child wants to do. So when travel came up, it was like, well, mind says this and inner child says this. Well, I already decided that this year is the year of the inner child. So I'm going to go ahead and start traveling because that's what little Matt wants to do.
And how did you gracefully go about that? Because our inner child has these shadows that we have to always kind of seek out for, right? So how was the growth in that aspect?
Yeah, you're totally right. So yeah, the shadow was saying, you should wait, you're not ready. It's kind of, the mind and the shadow had similar messages, right? Of like, man, if you do this, like, what's going to happen to the company? What's going to happen to like all your dreams? Like, are you going to put them on pause? And that's not
this
what
is
happened.
Fresh off of a medical school or PhD. Yeah.
PT. So I graduated from Duke.
he has a clear throat after saying, I hear you. We hear you, brother. Like, hey,
let me hear you. Yeah. So, and a lot of that thinking from that time was much more from the mind. And this past year, I've learned a lot to listen to my body and my heart. And that's what was speaking that day. And it's been speaking for a while. Like, I've always wanted this urge to travel, and I didn't really know where it came from. And I just decided, you know what, now is the time. Like, I can keep putting this off. But the thing is, we're never guaranteed of what's going to come tomorrow. Like, we might not be here tomorrow. If I keep putting this off, never experience this.
So how did you that transition from, I'm going to take everything in this logical sense to actually listening to what our body was doing, what your body was telling you. The first few days of that, the first few leaning weeks into that, how was that? I've done it before and it's terrifying, and I'd like to hear your perspective on it.
You know, so what brought me to that was being around other people who were doing that and seeing the joy and excitement and the playfulness that they had was what was like, oh man, they're living a life way different than I am. It's like, my life is up here of like, I'm very like numerical and objective in thinking. And that's part of that education we just talked about, of like getting a doctorate in a scientific field, whatever it may be, is very like evidence-based, and it's very up here. It's very cerebral. And when I started to realize that that wasn't the key to happiness, because I was seeing other people who were, let's say, like they were receiving less money than me. They were doing things differently than I was, and they were experiencing more joy and happiness. And I realized that they were listening and following their heart, and they were living inside their body, and they were not as much cerebral as I was. So when I started to surround myself with those people, I automatically noticed that I already had that shift of going that direction. And it by no means was comfortable, because like, while I'm going through that, I'm like, my stomach's like, what are you doing? Like, this, you're making a big change here. Like, this isn't safe, right? It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's the most exciting, is being very cerebral. You can predict things. Like, you can predict, like, based off this action, this is going to happen. Hmm. And then when you surrender and listen to the body, you're embracing uncertainty. And you have no idea where that uncertainty is going to take you. You just have to trust in the uncertainty. So the initial time of starting that is terrifying. It's terrifying. You're like, uncertainty? My whole life has been certain.
Yeah.
And yeah, but it's freeing at the same time. Like, to totally surrender and just accept what comes,
yeah,
is a much better way of living than trying to control everything that is presented to you.
Hmm. Yeah, it sounds strenuous because life is never are always moving parts, right? So I just imagine it as this kind of, I don't really know how to explain it, but Jumanji-esque kind of board that moves us on board, right? But if we try to hold on to one piece, we're just gonna be moving our hands like this. But if we just allow the board to play itself, it seems like if as we walk through it, we understand, okay, there's a lot of life happening as we're living it, rather than I'm living a lot of life and there's something happening around me.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me think. I remember like last year, around this time, maybe a little bit earlier, I took this personality test, and it gave me the personality test of a controller. And like, when I heard that, I was like, like, control, I don't want to be controlling.
Interesting that it's such a negative connotation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it can be used for positivity, for sure. Mm-hmm. I just noticed that the attachment, the feeling that I had when I got that, I was like, it's time for a change. Like, sure, maybe this is my tendency is to be controlling. I want to be free, flowing, be able to freely express myself, and noticing that change, or like where I am based. I mean, there's a test, you know, whatever. There's some validity. There's some how valid is it? Whatever. But still, though, like, that's what it classified me as, and I was like, I don't necessarily want to be classified as blank or labeled as blank. Mm-hmm. I'm actually interested in learning about the total opposite.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. So, wow, I don't even know how to put that in. You know, it's an interesting way to walk into the thing that you weren't labeled as, to say, I want to see how that works. It really brings about it's like flashing a light at the part that the no light is coming into.
For sure. And as I do that, it's more than likely, it's like, you know, I've been living on, if we look at a line or a spectrum, I've been living on this end extreme of controlling, scientific, like evidence-based. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other end of the spectrum, which is, yeah, you can't measure it, right?
Intuition or is that where you're, yeah.
Yeah, intuition, free-flowing, like just like, yeah. Exploration, almost like discovery, like there's nothing, it's new. And you know, yeah, you flash the light over there, you want to learn about it, and then more than likely the end result is you're going to be somewhere in the middle. It's like, I can turn on this controlling tendency, and it's actually, that's very helpful when it comes to like business and like other things in life. It's not necessarily helpful for like relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So like I noticed that like a lot of personality patterns or how to live life is just this spectrum. And I may explore one extreme. More than likely, most of my time is going to be spent in that middle of the spectrum. And now after shining a light on one side, I can fully express that side if I want to. And I also can go back to what my tendency is if I need to as well. So it gives you this bigger spectrum to live and experience life through.
I love that. Are you very well aware with the chakra work and like this, how the seven of them kind of correlate? I've been reading a little bit on that, and I wanted to ask you kind of a correlating question to what you just talked about.
I too am learning a lot about it.
Okay.
A lot of the people who I'm with traveling currently are very into that work and space.
Awesome. Okay. And the reason I want to ask that is because it sounded like what you talked about, the human experience, right? As we kind of see the receiving polarity, the negative polarity, the bottom three chakras as to like how they build up our animal side, essentially. And then the top three chakras are essentially our spiritual side, and the heart bringing it together as the middle chakra, right? And so as you were kind of traveling your journey, your personal journey, it sounded like you were very much up here, right? And as you kind of traveled back down and came back up, you know, so there's a lot of new Matthews in that traveling sequence. You know, there's a lot of new Matthews within that journey. Is there any of them that really you had to sit with? Is there like a past Matthew that you're like, yeah, man, let's have a conversation about these situations that we now can see differently? You know?
Oh, man, that's good. So before I got on this call, I was actually with a friend who is using movement and dance as a way to connect with yourself in different chakra points. And I love how you express those first three chakras are like more cerebral. And or no, not the first three, the last three, right?
Up here. Yeah, the top, the ones that are top three. Ascended to, yeah.
Yeah, I would say I live most of my life in that top three. And then the bottom three, I wouldn't say neglected, but I didn't fully express or explore. So in those bottom three too, I imagine, maybe I'm wrong, but I imagine that part of that has to be with like even body movement, like or dance, like, like dancing. And I have always been before, like I had the tendency to be nervous to express myself through movement of my body.
Wow.
I will get in front of people and talk and use this part and use the top part about like, let me just talk to you about like health, wellness, whatever it may be. Like I was very comfortable like getting in front of people and talking if it was about knowledge. When it came to movement or doing things that are more primal, there was some hesitation or resistance there that was built up. So I found that interesting. Like when you ask that and you talk about the different points, I'm like, dude, I just found something else out new.
Hey, cheers, cheers. I love to hear that. You don't have to be extremely specific, but was there like a specific instance? Don't have to be specific, was there a specific instance? But what I mean is that, was there a part of your life, I should ask, that's what I should ask. Was there a part of your life that in these past few months that you've kind of remembered heavily and you say, I can see how that Matthew became this one, going through that journey? That's what I'm more so meant is. And when I say don't be necessarily specific, you don't have to tell me the experience, but I'd like to hear the experience itself, but I like to hear the experience of the two of that conversation went. So you don't have to tell me if it'd be a trauma or anything like that. I'm talking about the next step, the conversation between Matthew and that life event, Matthew and that memory. You know, like, what's that conversation like, not the memory itself?
Yeah. All right, I'll do my best to answer this one. So about in October of last year, I started to do a lot more deeper work of like just of working into past experiences that have shaped me for who I am. And a lot of those were revisiting childhood memories or lessons that I learned from my mom or my dad. And I noticed that a lot of the tendencies that I have currently are a lot of things I learned from my mom. So by diving into those experiences, like truly, and what that looked like for me, it required a lot of time, and I'm still working on it. Next weekend, I'm actually going to a retreat that's going to help me further go into that. It's actually it's a retreat where we're going to dive back into these stories more, mom and dad stories. So yeah, there was a time October through pretty much January, which is kind of when I was like, I'm traveling.
I'm out of here.
It was one of those actions, but I went through a program. It was like a 90-day program that allowed me to connect with my inner child and my heart. Hmm. And a lot of it was through looking back at past experiences that I learned from. I have a tendency to be a very rigid person or very like cerebral. And I know that I get that a lot from my mom. Hmm. So what that looked like for me was over those like 3 month periods was a few times a week, I'd lay on a yoga mat in my room and I would allow myself to remember.
Hmm. That's important. That is really important because you hit the nail on the head there. Our life is our personal everything. And so allowing yourself to remember is so important.
Wow. Yeah. And feeling safe to remember, right? Because there's certain memories that may come up that our body or brain will reject and not be open to revisiting because we don't feel safe.
Yeah.
So when I would go into the yoga mat, I would do some breath work, I'd listen to some calming music, and before I'd even start, I'd tell myself, I am safe. Mm. I'm safe to remember. I'm safe to experience this. Wow. And then I'd think about the memory, or I'd think about, it could be the limiting belief. So let's say the limiting belief of life is hard, or I have to work hard to get what I want. Stuff like that are beliefs and patterns that don't work for us, they work against us in our everyday life. So where did I learn that from? And automatically when I'm in that safe spot and can remember, I'll have a mom or dad. Okay, where did I learn this? That's from mom. Okay, cool. What is the memory or earliest time I can remember my mom saying that? And then I'd experience that. So I'd set the scene. Let's think about the house I was in. Okay, cool. What room was I in? What did my mom look like? And even if I couldn't remember the exact like scene or situation, it would be, can I remember things she'd say? Or can I even just pretend her saying it right then and there in a safe environment where I feel safe? Yeah. So connecting to that experience and then realizing where she learned it from, which is most of the time her parents or the environment she grew up in, and either coming to grips or maybe it comes to forgiving, like, hey, mom, I know this is what you're telling me, and this is what I believe. So as you're revisiting, rewriting that story, and being the one to speak up and tell your mom or your dad, hey, I wasn't able to say this when I was younger. This is how I am right now, coming from little Matt. So going through that experience and rewriting or replaying a lot of those experiences over the past, from October to January, is where a lot of that change began, to where I started to experience like feelings and energy in certain chakra points or just in the body in general that I didn't have access to before. And it required me to dig back into past experiences and past stories that opened doors to, ooh, this is really little Matt. Now, little Matt can come out now. He's safe. He feels, you know?
Wow. Yeah. And through that process, we often found out that our parents are human. So how was that to sit with and realizing that these superheroes that we often thought knew the answers to everything were humans doing their best?
Yeah. Very freeing, like just to know, man, it's not her fault, you know, or it's first off, taking the blame off yourself. It's not my fault that I have the tendency to be this way. Wow. And it's not my mom's fault or my dad's fault for them to teach me that. They learned it from their parents, who learned it from their parents. And like, the cycle keeps going until you're at the point where you're able to break away and create what you want for your family and kids to learn in the future.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Kind of how we don't know what we don't know, right? And these things that we build as life and believe as life, if we keep believing these things, it'll be life and therefore will be a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? And so it's very freeing and relieving to hear that you decided to break out of that. It's also, however, an interesting way of living, because we just end up limiting ourselves at that point. We just accept these limits and say, okay, well, these limits will be how I will live my life. And then it creates these boundaries that aren't really the boundaries in which are the good ones. It just creates these imaginary limitations.
You know? Yeah. And anybody has the ability to change those limiting beliefs. Mm. They just have to believe that they, one, have the power to do so. And it is painful. Like, to go relive these stories, you're going to cry. You're going to scream. I got some pillows, you know, I took some pillows and just threw them against the wall. Like, but allowing yourself to feel the feelings that you either suppressed when you were younger, or if you'd never got it fully out, like, let it be out. And it's painful. It's like, sometimes silence and that alone time can be really scary.
Yeah.
At the same time though, it can be transformative if you let it fully express that emotion, and then moving on and setting a new belief. So maybe my limiting belief was life is hard. And I learned that from my dad. I lived that experience of my dad telling me how hard his life was. Mm. And then little Matt saying, hey dad, like, it's okay. Like, and just being there for my dad, and then setting a new limiting and a new belief of like, life is easy, or my life flows with ease and grace.
Yeah, because easy is so subjective, right? But yeah, when you put it that way, it's like saying that the challenges that come my way aren't necessarily punishing; they're lessons, or, you know, it brings about this new perspective.
Absolutely,
I love that. Ease and grace. That's pretty smooth, Matt.
That's next level stuff. That's not mine.
Along the journey, any books that you've read that you said, okay, this thing is really, because I remember you recommended Nonviolent Communication to me.
That's a good one.
That was a great book. What are some other ones that brought about some growth your way?
Yes. Oh man, there's this one book that I read, and it's on the tip of my tongue here. Into the Heart of the Soul. One second.
I gotta look. Okay, we'll take that as a possible answer. When the listeners and viewers see it, they'll say yes or no.
I think it's like, and that's like Into the Heart of the Sea. I'm pretty sure I'm butchering that and combining it with another book title. Shoot, that's a really good one. There's a few, like Joe Dispenza has a good one too. So
Becoming Supernatural. Yes, I was listening. Yeah, yes, very good book.
He talks a lot about the different chakra points too. So that was really helpful.
The body keeps the score.
Keeps the score. That's another good one. I'm currently reading that one.
Very good book. I love that book.
The Untethered Soul. That's it. That's what it's called.
Michael A. Singer. Okay.
Oh, so, dude, so good.
So you read The Untethered Soul. Have you read The Surrender Experiment?
No, that's on my list, dude.
Okay, so given that's the sequel of that book, what you're experiencing currently reminds me of the surrender experiment, which is why at the beginning of the interview, I asked you, how was that surrender? And I'm going to guess he speaks of surrender in The Untethered Soul, perhaps. I'm not sure, since it's a prequel to it. But how did that book affect you, The Untethered Soul? What was that? Was that one of the I'm going to go be Kid Matt and let my soul be? Like, tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's embarrassing. For those who haven't read it, it's an amazing book. I would say probably there's a few things in that book that really got me. Towards the end of the book, it talks a lot about your relationship with death, and that made me think a lot. And honestly, I never read anything as good as that when it comes to relationship with death. So strongly recommend that. We see death in the Western society as like we're scared of dying. Mm-hmm. We're scared of what comes because we're so scared of this uncertainty. Mm. We don't know what's next, so we're scared of it. And the book framed death as an ally instead of something to fear from. Because it's a constant reminder that we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know if we'll be here tomorrow. And the same thing goes for like for finances. People save money, and saving money is a good habit. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So you tell me Matt Shiver told me not to save money.
I definitely, since after reading that though, like a lot of my goals were to, at the time, was like to pay back my student loans, to pay off my car and all these things, and like, and that's okay, like that's healthy, like I still want to do those things. It's just if my intent is to do that by a certain date, and I'm sacrificing the life quality or like the things that I want to do because I can be debt free, because I imagine that being debt free would create more like, I'm debt free. Like reality though, like it doesn't change your state and who you are. So a part of that was like, man, I could try to the next 5-10 years really focus on paying off these debts and then be debt free while I'm living in like a suboptimal place that wasn't exciting, or I'm surrounding myself by these other people that like, you know, whatever, but it helps me get to my goal, which is debt free. And like, who's to say that I'm going to be around in 5 years?
That's so real. That's very real.
It changed my relationship with money for sure. Like I invest a lot more in my current self, whether that's like education, like continuing education, business coaching, food. Like I spend a lot more time on food and nutrition and like just like properly like taking care of myself and being able to fully live in the present moment. Because like, I don't want to wait until I'm 50 to retire and then be like, I'm in my body that's not as great as it is in, you know, like my late 20s. Like I want to really enjoy my current time. So the relationship that I formed with money or finances changed after reading a section in the book that was really geared at looking at death. And I didn't expect that to come from that. And that did definitely encourage me and like was a catalyst for me to start traveling, being on the road and experiencing things that I wanted to experience for a while that I would put off because I was like, I'm going to pay my debts off first. And it's like, well, what if I was paying off my debts at a slower rate and still able to live the life that I want to live? Or like maybe I'm receiving less money on this journey of traveling across the United States and living this nomadic lifestyle, and my quality of life is better. It's like, I'm going to choose the quality of life right now because I'm not guaranteed that I'm going to have a tomorrow. So that was really impactful in that book. And then another big concept in that book was talking about like when somebody asks you like who are you, what do you respond with? Like we typically respond is, my name is Matt. Well, who is Matt? Like that's just a label. Like a name is a label.
It is. So you have to learn your name. It's a pretty mind-blowing concept. You had to learn your name.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and then I was like, Matt went to App State and then he graduated and went to Duke. And like, so is Matt, is a Matt all of his past experiences? Is that what Matt is?
Yeah.
Or is Matt the being or the thing inside that gets all the sensory input, that experiences all these things? Is Matt like just in here somewhere that's just getting constant stimulus or stimuli? And what is Matt? So like it literally, when I read that, I'm like, who am I? I don't know.
Wow.
And it really questioned a lot of things. And I found it really fascinating of the idea of I am this being that is receiving all this information and I get to decipher what it is that I want or what I believe, all these things. And even in like, is Matt the same thing as a human body? Like is Matt, is what I look like, is this Matt? Or like, so like, if you're really interested in reading something that's going to totally change your interpretation of reality, This is a book.
the Untethered Soul by Michael A. Singer.
Yeah, it was wow. It was a good experience. So that was one that I was going through that I read at the start of October, like as I was getting into this self-development time period, and definitely recommend to a lot of people for sure.
Wow. Awesome, man. Well, I'm out of topics. I just wanted to talk to you for if you got anything else you want to share.
Man, I'm good. I think it's just, it's, you know, the takeaway I hope for people is that, you know, life is short and definitely it could be short. It might be long. We don't know. Live in the present moment, right? Like surround yourself with people that excite you and take every moment like it's your last. And I had one of my best recommendations that I got from somebody over the past few months was live every moment like it's the first time and the last time for every experience. So like, let's say, I mean, so the way he described this was with in a relationship when you're getting romantic, like what does the first time feel like? And what does the last time feel like? And can you combine both of those together? It doesn't have to be with like romance or, you know, yeah. It could also be in a shower or a sandwich. Like let's say like every day at lunch, you make a sandwich and you eat that sandwich and you make that sandwich. And you're like, this is the first time I'm making a sandwich. Oh, I'm so excited, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is exciting. And then you also eat it and you're like, this is the last sandwich I'm ever going to eat. How much would you enjoy the process of one making the sandwich and then eating it? Instead of using it like a lot of us currently do, is like, well, I have to eat this because I'm hungry. I'm just going to shove it down my face. Instead of fully embracing that moment, like it's the first time you ever experienced it and you're never going to ever experience it ever again.
You're a wise man, Matt. I love it.
Oh, man.
I love it. Well, my last words are as they always are. Hug your loved ones. Tell the people you love that you love them. And always do your best. So thanks for joining me, Matt. I love you, man. And many more.
Love it, bro. Thank you so much for having me.
Listen to this episode. Get discounts on your favorite upcoming businesses. And you want merch? Yo, check out themoderncrowd.com.